United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Lawrence B. Hagel presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. Today we're here to hear the case of Gray versus Secretary of Veterans Affairs. The docket number is 13-33-39. Who will speak for Mr. Gray?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Michael Wilhaber, representing Mr. Gray, and with me at counsel table is co-counsel Matt Hill.
Okay, thank you. And who will speak for the Secretary?
Good morning, Your Honor. Sarah Fusino, representing the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. With me is Deputy Assistant General Counsel Ed Cassidy.
Okay, thank you very much. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The Court should reverse the Board's determination in Mr. Gray's case that Da Nang Harbor is not an inland waterway of the Republic of Vietnam because it has no foundation in fact or law, and it is otherwise not owed any deference. No one disputes that veterans who served in the inland waters of Vietnam are deemed to have service in the Republic of Vietnam for purposes of establishing their entitlement to benefits under the statute at section 1116. And in fact, Mr. Gray served in Da Nang Harbor. His ship entered the harbor and anchored on numerous occasions, including docking next to a pier in Da Nang Harbor.
Well, he didn't dock it next to a pier, did he?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, you're right. He docked next to a ship that was docked to the pier.
Why might that make a difference?
In this case, Your Honor, I don't think it makes a difference at all. The fact that the ship was in the harbor.
Okay, so what you're seeking, the reversal, is not based on the mooring at all. Just the fact, just the presence within inside the Da Nang Harbor, right?
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's because Da Nang Harbor is an inland waterway. And the VA agrees that service on an inland waterway constitutes service within the Republic of Vietnam under the statute. And Da Nang Harbor is the fact, Da Nang Harbor is an inland waterway based on the facts and the law that apply in this case. In terms of the facts, it is a bay that international convention considers to be an inland harbor, an inland waterway. Inland waterway is a term of art that is recognized in the International Convention and Supreme Court law as including not only rivers and estuaries, but also harbors and bays.
Why should that particular international law conventions apply in the Department of Veterans Affairs determinations?
For two reasons, Your Honor. Number one, it's as it's discussed in the case that's cited in the record, Louisiana versus the United States. The Supreme Court in that case adopted the convention as applying and controlling U.S. law in matters of determining what bodies of water are called.
But in that particular case, and in U.S. versus California, didn't the Supreme Court say that the statute, the Submerged Lands Act that was being interpreted, left to the courts to determine how to define where the border would be? And I don't see that in Title 38, Congress left to the courts to define that we would apply international law, or that VA would have to also apply international law.
Well, it's my understanding about the Submerged Lands Act, which was the issue in that case, is that I would say that part of that case is not really relevant here. What's relevant is the court's adoption in general terms of the UN Convention on Territorial Seas as establishing the legal definition of what inland waterways is.
For all of the United States, any law interpreted thereof.
That's how I read the case, Your Honor. And the other...
The question I have is, what is the term that the VA uses for your theory of service connection? Do they use inland waterways, or do they use internal waterways?
Throughout their authority, such as it is, they use the word inland waterways.
And the convention uses the term what? If you don't know, feel free to look. I didn't ask if you believed. I asked you what it said.
What I've read is inland waterways, Your Honor.
So you believe that the VA and the both the VA and the convention are in tune or in sync with what they say? Yes or no? Maybe I misinterpreted what you said.
Yes, I believe they should be. And the fact is, the other point I was going to make in answer to Judge Scholin's question was that they don't have any of their own law to say what an inland waterway is. And that's why it's important that they look to the definition of what inland waterway is in this case.
Well, VA has prescribed some guidance in their N21 General Counsel opinions. And the Supreme Court, in cases like ours, has accepted even litigation positions as establishing the agency position. So why are the documents that VA relies on not sufficient to establish their position, or not legal documents, as you would want?
Mr. Wilhelmer?
Yes.
Good morning. Are you?
Pondering.
I was pondering my answer. I'm sorry. I'm not quite sure I understand the question, Your Honor.
I'll rephrase. You are asserting that VA has no legal authority for saying what's an inland waterway and what isn't. And I'm saying VA has asserted in their briefs that they do have authority that they've established through their internal guidance. And case law has established that when an agency is interpreting some regulations, that position doesn't have to be promulgated in a regulation or some formal law authority. It could be even in their briefs submitted before that court procedure. So I'm wondering why you're articulating that what VA has put forth is insufficient to define what is or what is not covered.
Well, under the Auer case, because they're supposedly interpreting a regulation, it's entitled to no deference because the regulation itself simply parrots what the statute says. And I believe it's the Skidmore case that talks about if the regulation merely parrots what the statute says, then in effect what they're interpreting is the statute.
And so is your position that the VA regulation only parrots the statute?
Yes. It's 3.307A6 sub 3. It uses the general term service in the Republic of Vietnam. That's the same term that the Federal Circuit in the Haas case said was ambiguous. But the regulation itself doesn't add anything to that definition. Under Skidmore, it's not entitled to Chevron or Auer deference.
Sorry, did you miss that question?
Sure. Good morning. Do you have pictures are worth a thousand words?
Yes, we
sometimes.
Do.
Could you put up the name Harbor picture? Oh, good. And do we know what the river is that looks like it's running into Da Nang Harbor?
I believe the bigger one that's at the bottom. And actually, I can get, this is the, what we're looking at is the Google Earth satellite photo of Da Nang Harbor from a 5 mile perspective.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I am already. The court issued an order just prior to this argument directing the parties to stipulate and provide to the court maps that we could take judicial notice of and that the board could take administrative notice of. I want to make sure that counsel had in fact stipulated that that's what these maps are. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And just to give more background about the satellite photos themselves, Google Earth gets their satellite photos from the United States Navy and from NOAA. This is the 5 mile perspective. I'll go advance it, and this is a 10 mile perspective. And as you can see, there are two large rivers that flow into this harbor. I believe the bigger one at the bottom, which is south of the airport, that you can see, is the Han River, but I'm not positive about that.
Okay, and then the one at the top?
That river, I don't know the name of it, Your Honor, but the picture is worth 1,000 words. Under the UN Convention, Da Nang Harbor is considered an inland waterway because it's a harbor that the entrance is less than 24 miles across from point to point. And in fact, Da Nang Harbor, the entrance is about 4 miles wide.
And when you speak of the entrance, counsel, could you identify exactly what you're talking about?
It would be from this point on the north to this point on the south. The conventions requires drawing a straight line from point to point at the seaward side of the harbor entrance. So the harbor entrance would be considered from this outward point to point. And as you can see, we talked about the law, and I also said that based on the facts, Da Nang Harbor is an inland waterway. You see here two rivers that flow into the harbor. Any runoff of Agent Orange that would have occurred would flow into those rivers and then flow directly into the harbor.
What significance does that have?
Well, it's significant because the only rationale that the Secretary gives for saying that, the rationale that they give for saying that inland waters can constitute service in the Republic of Vietnam for the purposes of establishing exposure to Agent Orange is that those areas were sprayed with Agent Orange. And the Institute of Medicine, which is also a cited authority in our record, says that herbicides contaminated bodies of water by flowing from rivers into the bay. So the significant.
I'm sorry. Where is that in the group, or what support do you have for that?
Let's.
Okay. Well, do you continue in your counsel?
No, I have it, Your Honor. It's in the record at 308 and 310.
Okay.
Those are the Institutes of Medicine findings that. Their position is that shoreline spraying and runoff contaminates estuarine waters. And in effect, that's what this is with these
but
two
rivers. Is that what the VA has determined is the source of their presumption? Or is it just the proximity to spraying, the mist itself, or in contact with the physical contact with the matters that were sprayed? For example, I may want to make your answer. In Haas, as I recall, said that drawing the line between, for the presumption, between land activity, in other words, setting foot on land, and sea activity is inherently reasonable. So we're talking here about sea activity. So now we're focused in, now you focus in on making this determination based on the propensity, the size of bodies of water, and the dilution of the byproducts of, or contaminants of Agent Orange or herbicides. Did I get that correct, or am I just down?
I believe that's the VA's position, that they consider inland waterways, it's their term, they use it, they consider inland waterway veterans to be covered by the presumption. And it's based on their view that that's where spraying occurred, including immediate runoff from the land. And that's actually in the record. There's a letter from Brad Nays that's attached as an exhibit to the Secretary's brief at C-36, where they state, where Mr. Nays states that, incorrectly in my opinion, that harbors in Vietnam aren't considered inland waterways because there's no evidence that spraying occurred there in those types of bodies of water. But in fact, if spraying did occur in those types of waters, especially Da Nang Harbor, the amicus brief in this case that was filed has affidavits attached to it from veterans.
Yeah, we have not ruled on the affidavits yet.
Okay, I'm sorry, Your Honor. But they're... The amicus brief does cite to other studies that document that spraying occurred in the area of Da Nang Harbor and that there would have been runoff into the bay.
If I can get back to the earlier conversation we were having, you said that the VA's interpretation is not entitled to any deference because it merely parrots the language of the statute. The problem that I have, though, is in PAS, the Federal Circuit, once finding the regulation ambiguous, did go on to review the agency's interpretation and did afford it deference. So how am I to overcome my superior court action?
Because what happened in Haas is not what happened in this case based on the facts. Mr. Haas never entered any harbor. The Haas decision doesn't talk about harbors or inland waterways. They made the deference that they afforded the Secretary in that case relates to offshore veterans only. And what it said is that the VA's interpretation of that bright line rule, offshore inland waterways on foot exposure, allows them to say that a veteran that was offshore who stepped foot on land is then entitled to the presumption because of the fact that they stepped foot on land. That is not the case here. Mr. Haas never, the reason the court ruled against him was because he never stepped foot on land. His ship was a large ship that didn't enter any of the ports in Vietnam. Mr. Gray's case is completely different.
So if I can summarize, your distinction is based on the facts of the case, or is it distinguished in that you're already inside the part that Haas said VA could draw, and what you're arguing about is how they slice that onion as opposed to what's outside the onion altogether? Does that make any sense? You're arguing what's an inland waterway as opposed to whether any veteran could be exposed.
I'm arguing that what happened in Haas, based on the facts and the law, have nothing to do with Mr. Gray's case, because Haas is strictly an offshore case based on the facts. Mr. Haas never went into any harbor or bay. So in effect, he could not have gone into an inland waterway. Mr. Gray's ship did go into an harbor in a bay, so he was in fact inside the inland waters, which the VA agrees qualifies somebody for the presumption.
Does VA's definition of inland waterway need to be supported by scientific evidence? Or did the Haas Court give them a pass on that?
Well, the Haas Court did not give them a pass for the reasons that I just stated.
Okay.
And in the face of all the other evidence of record showing that Da Nang Harbor is an inland waterway, the Secretary definitely has to have some support other than its own word, its own statement, that it is not an inland waterway. And in the record just doesn't contain that kind of evidence.
Counsel, I am trying to locate what, I'm not sure about the pronunciation, but Quaviet River, is that part of the submission, the joint submission?
I believe it is, Your Honor.
Is that
the Quaviet River?
Map 3.
That's part of the harbor, or at least
well, that was
the river going into the harbor. Or not?
There, if I could get to it, here it is, Your Honor. Apparently, some U.S. naval warships entered the river, the mouth of the river, and because it's a river, the VA concedes that that's an inland waterway.
Right.
So if a ship went inside the open, where the river enters the ocean, if the ship, in other words, where the yellow marker is in this area, I believe they would concede that that's an inland waterway.
And does that river then empty into the bay, Da Nang Harbor or the harbor?
It empties directly into the ocean. This is the South China Sea.
Okay, that's not the Da Nang Harbor.
No.
Okay.
This is an area north of Da Nang Harbor, Your Honor.
Okay. You included in your brief a training letter as an attachment, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And that training letter says basically, I'm not sure, I don't have it paginated, but let me just read a passage to you, hopefully you can find it. It's a paragraph right above the ratings procedures. The training letter is number 10-06. That's attached to your brief,
yes.
Correct? Okay. So I look at that, and the paragraph right above the heading ratings procedures. And just let me know when you're there.
I apologize, Aaron.
No problem.
We'll give you the extra time.
I think it's page 50 of 53. Starts on page 49 of 53.
All right, Your Honor. Do you have the page? Is it under the ratings procedures section?
It's right above the ratings procedures section.
Okay.
You know, my copy, where I'm about to read from, begins on the previous page, but it starts with when deck logs. When deck logs refer to entering or anchoring in the mouth of one of these locations or any other identifiable river location, C&P Service has determined that this is sufficient to establish service on the inland waterways. It's not practical to establish a bright dividing line between a river entrance and the South China Sea. Therefore, the benefit of the BAP doctrine is applicable, and evidence of the vessel's presence in the river's mouth is sufficient to establish the presumption of exposure for veterans aboard that ship.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So that's an attachment to your brief, and I'm assuming that was attached in order to get to the point of when these presumptions are applicable, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So then I go to the record on page 617. I do have that page. And it happens to be a deck log. log says, and I don't have my reading glasses, but...
Okay, it starts with, this is, you said 617.
Right.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. Since they're operating off...
Let me read it to you, since Judge Davis... that's what he wants to do.
For dramatic effect.
Underway, it starts off at 00 to...
Do you need me to read it?
00.
Under your eyes.
That's right. Underway, steaming independently as part of a task force group 70.8.5. The ship is operating off the Qua Viet River mouth in accordance with Sink Pack Fleet Quarterly Employment Schedule 4-79.
So, in the record, now I didn't see this argument in your brief, but in the record seems to me to reasonably raise a question and possibly even meet the presumption, but that hasn't been determined by the board, that this ship was actually operating, if it's in the Qua Viet River mouth, the training letter says that meets the presumption.
That you're absolutely right, Your Honor, but we would have to concede, and we certainly looked closely at this, that operating off of the Qua Viet River mouth does not equate to anchoring in the mouth or entering.
Well, I think that's a fair point, and it seems to me that the board might need to address that. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. But you did look at this and decided not to put this in your argument.
Well, I didn't represent the veteran before the agency.
Okay.
But it's something that we did discuss, and in my judgment, to be honest, I didn't think that the log, although it would certainly be a benefit to Mr. Gray, I didn't think the log supported an argument that the ship actually entered the mouth of the river.
I think that may be a question for...
I certainly can see that.
And a question I will have for your opposing counsel is, how big is a mouth? How far out does it go?
Well,
you can.
I'll leave that for counsel. Well, if you have an answer, I will listen to yours, and then we'll move.
I would just point out that the perspective here is a 5-mile view, and that entrance to the river seems very small to me. If there's no... Thank you.
During the break here, until you get up again, you can take a look at the conventions to see if they don't have a definition of that.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. If you need extra time, of course, we'll allow it.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Your Honors, Sarah Ficino, representing the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. With me is Deputy Assistant General Counsel Ed Cassidy. Your Honors, the Secretary has specified that evidence of service aboard a ship anchored in an open, deep-water harbor, such as the Da Nang Harbor, in itself does not qualify for the presumption of herbicide exposure under 38 U.S.C. 1116, and 38 CFR 3.307A63. Your Honors, VA's interpretation should be given substantial deference by this Court for the following two reasons.
Could I ask you to read the definition of what constitutes broadly evidence that would give rise to the presumption of exposure to Agent Orange, including the portion that talks about serving on internal or mainland waterways? Could you read that to me?
Your Honor, just so I clearly understand your question, are you referring to the definition VA has espoused in its manual?
Yes, that's correct.
If I may, the CFR,
I think it is, isn't it? Okay, you can continue and your co-counsel can...
Well, Your Honor...
Unless you have it.
Sure, insofar as your question is the Secretary's interpretation of the ambiguous phrase service of the public
Vietnam. I understand that, but there is a statement within the CFR.
Correct, Your Honor.
We can talk about interpretation in a minute, but I'm not prepared with the words.
Your Honor, the Secretary in his regulation stated that service in the Republic of Vietnam. Your Honor,
you memorized it.
Includes service offshore or in other locations if the conditions of service involve duty and visitation in Vietnam.
Okay.
So the question that we have before us and that the Federal Circuit in Haas addressed was the Secretary's interpretation of that phrase, duty and visitation.
But it dealt with land, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And the distinction in Haas was made, hey, it definitely was a blue water ship. There was no allegation at all that it served in inland waterways. Right? It definitely served in blue water. And the allegation was we were so close to the shore that I felt, Mr. Haas says, I saw clouds coming to the ship and so forth. And the VA's position was blue water, gotta touch land. Blue water doesn't count. And the Federal Circuit says, you're right, it's okay to draw that line. Now, I summarize that correctly?
Yes, Your Honor. The Secretary, though, would posit that Haas stands for three important propositions, and if I may go through the three of them. The first is that...
Now, I'm going to ask you to go back a second.
Of course,
you
Your Honor.
You address the portion of... I don't know why I keep thinking it's in the CFR. Maybe it's in the training area that talks about using the term either internal or inland waterways.
Your Honor, the term is inland that is used, and
that is in the CFR.
That is not in the CFR, Your Honor. That is in VA's manual, a 2008 compensation and pension bulletin, as well as a 2010 training letter.
Okay.
The training letter that Judge Davis mentioned earlier, 10-06.
That's all I know.
Thank you, Your Honor. With regard to the three important propositions that the Federal Circuit's holding in Haas stands for, the first is that VA had promulgated a reasonable regulation interpreting the phrase, the ambiguous phrase, service in the Republic of Vietnam. So VA's regulation did not merely parrot or mirror the statute. It elaborated and construed upon that phrase. As such, VA's interpretation of its own regulation is entitled to substantial deference and is controlling unless it is plainly erroneous or inconsistent with the regulation. Your Honor, the second important proposition set forth by the Federal Circuit Haas was to uphold the line and the interpretation that VA had espoused to differentiate between veterans who set foot on the actual landmass of Vietnam or veterans who served inland, as opposed to veterans who served exclusively in these deep water, ocean-going, offshore vessels. As such, Your Honor, our position is that because the Federal Circuit held that VA had the authority and reasonably drew a line to distinguish between these two categories of veterans, it also necessarily follows that VA's interpretation to more so refine its definition of what constitutes inland and what constitutes offshore is entitled to that similar substantial deference.
Okay, now, what is it that service in one of these areas that you talked about, what does that entitle the veteran to?
Your Honor, the subject we are discussing today is the presumption of herbicide exposure. So if a veteran is in, if a veteran has set foot on the physical landmass of Vietnam or has served in inland waterways designated by VA, the department will presume that veteran has been exposed to herbicides, and if the veteran has one of the diseases then enumerated as related to herbicide exposure, that veteran will receive service
connection. In this case, number one, I'm backing up a little bit.
Sure.
Mr. Gray has, in fact, alleged one of the diseases on the list.
That is correct.
So that's off the table.
Yes.
Now, what is the Secretary's position on the part of the record that says when he went to the medical examination, he denied ever having set foot on Vietnam? How does that play into the facts of this case?
Well, Your Honor, the Secretary, in a pro-veteran approach, has deemed there to be circumstances where a veteran who otherwise served on these deep shore, offshore vessels nevertheless set foot on land. And therefore, the Secretary has, in consistency with his other interpretations, enumerated that if a veteran sets foot on land, even if it is only for a very short period of time, that veteran would receive.
Mr. Gray said to a VA official,
right,
I have never set foot on land. That aspect is not challenged, as far as I can see, by that statement or that fact is not challenged by
correct
the appellant, as I see it in the briefing. Does that have any effect at all on according such an individual the presumption? Assuming we would find
yes
that the bay is an inland waterway, would Mr. Gray automatically be entitled to the perception of the presumption? Even with his statement?
Your Honor, presuming that the court, if the court finds that Da Nang Harbor is an inland waterway, then the aspect of whether or not appellant had set physically on land is not relevant. However, that's certainly not the Secretary's position here. The Secretary's position is that the Da Nang Harbor is not inland, that it is an offshore waterway.
I understand.
Therefore,
I'm just trying to narrow the issues here. Okay, so it seems to me from what you said, if somebody serves on the inland waterways, they get the presumption no matter what. They get the presumption, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so they get the presumption. And I understand this whole deal. So this narrows, it seems to me, this narrows the question to us about SOAR. I think we've taken off the table a lot of the other ancillary things. Judge Davis has a question about the Guadalupe River. But we have taken off the table everything but the question of whether or not the Da Nang Harbor is an inland waterway. And if we were to find that it was an inland waterway, then Mr. Gray would be given the presumption that he has been exposed to Agent Orange. Correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Everything correct.
That is correct, Your Honor. However, the Secretary's position, as set forth in his manual, bulletin, and training letter, is that the Da Nang Harbor is a open, deep water harbor. It is essentially an extension of the ocean waters. It is more akin to an offshore waterway.
Now, if I can look at your basis for saying that, when I see in the manual and some of the language, I think the council, your opposing council pointed to, it said, because it's easy to sail into. Sailing into a harbor, ease of doing that, doesn't seem to me to be a proxy for likelihood of exposure. Some of these river mouths are very wide and I would presume easy to sail into. So what criteria has VA put forth that shows that it's the reasoned judgment of the agency to decide that this body of water is an inland waterway and that body of water is not?
Yes, Your Honor, and this was the third important proposition that the Fourth Circuit class established, and that it was VA's basis and rationale is rooted in the fact-based reasons of where Agent Orange was sprayed. Your Honor, the majority of Agent Orange was sprayed on the actual land of Vietnam with the purpose of defoliating trees, eliminating plant cover, destroying enemy crops.
Right.
And there's also evidence.
If I can interject. It seems that VA has extended that border, for example, with the mouths of river, the Mekong Delta, and saying it's too difficult to figure out where the South China Sea starts and where the Mekong Delta ends. So if we look at some of the maps, it's my understanding that some bays, like, again, forgive my pronunciation, Quy Nam Bay was included as an inland waterway, but Da Nang Harbor is not. But your general position is that bays are not included, but some bays appear to be. So you can see where I might have some confusion as to this bright line that the agency is espousing that doesn't seem so bright.
Can I, to help me with your answer to Judge Schulman's question, do you have a map of which one is it?
Quy Nam Bay.
Quy Nam Bay.
Your Honor, I believe there is a map, if I may find it.
I think it's number 9. If you go to the 5-mile view, it might be a little less blurry.
There we go. Okay.
So I'm guessing it's this blurry part in the middle. My map is a little bit clearer to see in person, but it has a very narrow mouth, but it's definitely not a river. It's not a delta. It's not some of these other criteria. So that leads me to confusion.
Your Honor, if I may, my answer would probably be multi-part to both your question and Judge Hagel's question. The important rationale behind and the basis behind VA's categorization to include rivers and estuaries and deltas as part of within the scope of the presumption of herbicide exposure is also because military records indicate that Navy riverine patrols did use Agent Orange as they traveled through these waterways in order to clear plant cover. So once again, VA's interpretation and understanding is rooted in the facts of where Agent Orange was sprayed.
But doesn't the IOM map demonstrate that there was spraying near Da Nang Harbor, for example?
Certainly, Your Honor. And the Secretary notes the 2008 IOM report that appellant cites to. However, and in consideration of these facts, the Secretary then tasked the IOM to specifically investigate whether or not veterans who served in these offshore waters could have been exposed through the exact avenues that Your Honors were talking about earlier, such as runoff. And the IOM released a report in 2011 concluding that there was insufficient evidence of significant exposure, that they could not quantify the exposure that offshore veterans might have experienced, and this was in stark contrast to the significant pathways of exposure that veterans who served on the actual landmass of Vietnam or veterans who served in the rivers where Agent Orange was sprayed may have experienced.
But wasn't the entire scheme to create this presumption of exposure rooted in the fact that we have no mechanism for determining how much exposure individual veterans have had?
Sure, Your Honor. However, legislative history once again indicates that Congress was primarily concerned with ground troops and that the presumption of herbicide exposure occurred because while the military records may have indicated where herbicides were sprayed on land, it was not necessarily clear to exactly pinpoint where an individual might have been on any given day to determine individualized exposure, and that is why the presumption extends to veterans who were on the physical landmass or in the inland waterways. But Your Honor,
but also
it does
a
not
veteran who is in Vietnam for 30 minutes on the ground would be covered, but a person who served in Da Nang Harbor for a year would not be.
Your Honor, the Secretary had to draw a line in this case, and he certainly recognizes that whenever a line is drawn, there's certainly the potential for over-inclusion, under-inclusion, or otherwise anomalous results, but that does not render the line irrational or arbitrary. And in this case, Your Honor, the Secretary's position is certainly that his interpretation is rational. It is supported by the facts of where Agent Orange was sprayed. It is certainly consistent with his regulation and with other interpretations he has espoused, and as such, it should be entitled to substantial deference by this court under Auer and Seminole Rock.
But I get back to some bays are covered and some bays are not. So that doesn't seem to be a bright line rule that they are applying either.
Sure, Your Honor. The Secretary's, the parameters that he has set forth is that an open deep water harbor, specifically Da Nang or Vung Tau or Cameron, are not within the scope of the presumption of herbicide exposure. They are not inland, they are more offshore. With regard to the Quinon Bay, the Secretary has the authority, and he exercises that authority in a pro-veteran manner, pro-claimant manner, to make the determination that this was not an open deep water harbor, that this was perhaps more narrow or more shallow, and to extend that presumption. However, Your Honor, the Secretary's favorable determination in this instance does not mean that his overarching definition that is based upon the principles of where herbicides were sprayed is not reasonable.
So you again, I'm going to go back and try to narrow this issue. What do we have to decide? It sounds to me, I understand what you said correctly. The secretary could care less about whether something's a river, an estuary, a waterway, a bay, a harbor. Secretary doesn't care. Secretary is only going to look at where there was a high probability of the spraying of an herbicide.
Your Honor, that is the underlying basis for the secretary's interpretation. Yes.
So it makes no difference. The appellant's argument, as I understand it, and they can tell me if I'm wrong, is, hey, this is a bay, therefore, under international law, it's an inland waterway. And therefore, Mr. Gray gets the presumption.
Your Honor, it is the Secretary's position that...
Is it your understanding
yes.
of the appellant's position, right? Okay, so given what you have articulated as the Secretary's position, earlier, as I recall, you said if somebody serves in an inland waterway, which is what the Secretary says, then they are entitled to the presumption no matter what.
Correct.
Okay. In this case, assuming we were to decide that Da Nang Harbor is an inland waterway, and given the fact that the statement that the individual did not set foot on land makes no difference, then why, as a matter of law, could we not find that a bay is in fact an inland waterway? And because there's nothing in the record to indicate anything to the contrary, that the VA would accept as evidence to that, that we should reverse, because the only evidence that's in the record supports the veteran.
Your Honor.
So we would reverse, and then whatever the VA wanted to do, they could do. Then it was remanded.
Your Honor, the Secretary would respectfully disagree that the evidence in the record only supports.
What evidence is counted to that?
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, because the Secretary's understanding, his interpretation, is that the Da Nang Harbor is explicitly excluded as an inland waterway. It is an offshore water, therefore...
I understand what you're saying. The assumption that I made, that's the issue what we have to decide. I believe
yes, sir.
Okay. Let's assume we decide in favor of the veteran. There seems to me there are two possibilities we could have. We could remand because there was something unclear, some factual findings the VA would have to make. Or we could reverse, ruling in favor of the veteran, and remand to the board and say, hey, facts are clear. We decided this as a matter of law because of the conventions and the fact that we don't believe that the Secretary has demonstrated a consistent pattern, so how it doesn't apply. And so we're going to reverse. Now, tell me what else in the record, besides this idea that the Secretary, in your view, has determined this is a bay and therefore not inland waterway. What else is there?
Your Honor, the primary question is whether or not the Da Nang Harbor is inland or offshore.
Another way to answer that is nothing is there.
I apologize, Your Honor. Yes.
I'm asking that because I'm going to take this as a concession of what you're saying. So that's your answer? That's fine. I'm not trying to lead you one way or the other. I'm just trying to figure out what I have to decide. And the less, the better.
Thank you, Your Honor, for clarifying the question. I apologize for not answering it fully the first time. In regards to, if I may address the alternate definitions of a harbor inland waterway that appellant urges upon this court, the Secretary's position is that those definitions certainly have no bearing on the issue before us today. We are discussing a congressionally established VA benefit, the authority authorized to VA by Congress to delineate the specificity and criteria of this benefit. And, Your Honor, importantly, the Federal Circuit in Haas noted that there is nothing in the statute or the legislative history that indicates that Congress intended to designate some other method of defining the reaches of a sovereign nation to apply to this statute and this presumption of herbicide exposure that we are discussing today. And, Your Honor, as I believe Judge Sholin pointed out, the case of U.S. v. Louisiana was on an entirely different subject matter of the Submerged Lands Act of 1953 regarding the dispute between the federal government and the states over control of coastal resources. There's no indication that anything in that case intended to apply here to the very specific question of VA benefits that we are deciding today. And then, Your Honor, Judge Hagel, if I may, the Federal Circuit in Haas noted that because the line drawn by VA was rational, even if the court would have drawn a different line, they would not substitute their judgment for that of the agency, and the Secretary would certainly urge this court to do the same here. The Secretary's interpretation is reasonable. It is consistent, once again, with his regulation and his other interpretations, and it should be afforded substantial deference by this court.
I'd like to get back to the question that I said I would ask you when Mr. Wolfhauer was finishing up. How far does the mouth of a river extend?
Your Honor, my apologies. I do not have that exact information. The understanding, though, is that the Secretary would rely on the deck records to indicate, as Judge Davis mentioned in the training letter, anchorage or entrance into the mouth of the river in order to establish presence in the mouth of the river. However, that is certainly not the case here. Appellant has never indicated that Mr. Gray entered into the mouth of a river.
Trying to establish that if exposure is based on land or proximity to land, if the mouth of a river were to deem to be extending, say, 12 miles or something, then why would you not consider that same distance offshore, be it in some other waterway, to not also be likely to get the benefit of the doubt that the Secretary has extended to the mouths of rivers? If the mouth of a river is 500 yards, then maybe that's a different question. But it seems to me that the Secretary has deferred in this determination to what a naval officer wrote in a deck log to what they thought was the mouth of a river, not what the Secretary has defined as the mouth of a river.
Your Honor, it would appear that the Secretary does essentially give the benefit of the doubt or in a pro-veteran, pro-claimant manner to a deck log that indicates anchorage or entrance into the mouth of a river. It is perhaps reasonable to assume that the individual making those logs is more qualified to perhaps use navigational tools to indicate when the ship has entered or anchored in the mouth of a river. But once again, Your Honor, that certainly isn't the facts of this case. Appellant only anchored in the Da Nang Harbor, and he certainly conceded that he never went ashore at any point in time. And nor is, once again, the USS Rourke on the list of ships that have conducted any sort of inland waterway operations so as to extend the scope of the presumption of herbicide exposure to the service members aboard that ship.
Does the Secretary adopt the international conventions with regard to the definition of bodies of war?
Your Honor, the Secretary does not adopt the UN Convention on the Laws of the Seas with regard to his definition of inland and offshore. It is for the same reasons as discussed earlier with regard to the case of U.S. v. Louisiana. There's no indication that alternate definitions of inland or harbor have any bearing on the discrete issue of VA benefits that we are discussing today.
And how does that impact on Judge Sherman's question and the fact that the Secretary has said, if you served in inland waterways such as river, right? Groundwater, true groundwater, maybe. How does the secretary determine that? Maybe I shouldn't presume this. I understood the import of Judge Sherman's question.
Well, Your Honor, once again, the Secretary is basing his understanding within the structure of where Agent Orange was sprayed, okay. And the Secretary's
I understand that. Now, that leads to my second question. Where is that document? And as I understood, when Judge Davis was talking about Quinone, Judge Sherman was talking about Quinone Bay, I think your answer was the VA looks at where Agent Orange was sprayed through some analysis of operational materials or relying on opinion from the service. And I understand that could happen, but we're trying to get to the idea of, you know, how does the Secretary make this determination about inland waters? It would seem to me that you would say, well, inland water under the Secretary would define inland water as anywhere on the water where Agent Orange was sprayed, except offshore. I mean, I'm trying to figure out is how the Secretary defines this.
And where does it say that?
That's right, because that's what we're trying to determine. And what I've heard you say is a lot of nice words and very logical positions. Don't get me wrong, I'm not disputing the logic. But the Appellate Council has also given us some logical ways that we should find what I think you have said is the central issue in this case is whether that bay is an inland waterway. So that leads to the question I think that Judge Sherman just reiterated is where, if this is the VA's policy and that's upon which you base it, and that's fine according to Haas as I read it, where is that in some sort of writing, regulation, direction to this compensation and pension service, something that where the Secretary says this is how we do it.
Sure, Your Honor. The Secretary has been consistent from at least 1997 in differentiating between veterans who served inland and veterans who served offshore. And the reasoning is the facts of where Agent Orange was sprayed. The Secretary has espoused that understanding in notice and comment rulemaking in the, if I may refer to the 1997 Spina Bifida final rule. The exact citation is 62 Federal Register 51274, stating that individuals who served exclusively in offshore waterways are not within the scope of the presumption.
The purpose of the children having spina bifida.
Correct, Your Honor. And then again in 2001, regarding the inclusion of type 2 diabetes as a disease that is presumed to be associated with herbicide exposure, the Secretary again indicated his understanding that inland waterways are included within the scope because of the facts.
We all agree with that.
Correct, Your Honor. I'm just saying.
So you're saying that the Federal Register, in promulgating, I guess, must be talking about in promulgating a regulation within the CFR.
Correct, Your Honor.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Correct, Your Honor. The Secretary has been consistent through his notice and comment rulemaking, through the Precedential General Counsel Opinion 27-97, in his holding that there is a distinction between veterans who served on land or inland and veterans who served offshore, and the rationale behind that understanding based on the facts of where Agent Orange was sprayed. Now, more specifically, the specific exclusion of the Da Nang Harbor as an inland waterway and the classification of it as an open, deep water harbor more akin to an offshore water has been consistent since at least December 2008. The Secretary put this forth in his bulletin, noting that it was not similar to the inland waterways, which the Secretary classified as rivers, canals, and estuaries. The same understanding, again, is espoused in the Secretary's manual
as well as the training letter that we have been referring to, training letter 10-06. So the secretary's...
In that, those documents, does it discuss because there was spraying here or not spraying there? The bulletin, manual, or training documents?
Your Honor, if I may refer very quickly to refresh my memory.
Actually, I can look it up.
Your Honor, the understanding of the training letter is that it did discuss the operations and the facts of where Agent Orange was sprayed. I am not certain if the manual gets into it as specifically, but the bulletin certainly indicates that herbicide exposure is only extended to veterans who served where herbicide spraying is well documented.
Counsel, I'd like to ask the same question I asked Appellant's counsel regarding the Quaviet River and the Decalog. Do you have an explanation why the board did not address that which is reasonably raised in the record?
Your Honor, the deck log that Your Honor has referred to indicates that they were off of the mouth. There's no indication that they entered the mouth or anchored within the mouth, and appellant certainly concedes that fact, nor has that been raised by appellant at any point. As Judge Hagel has noted, the question before this court is one of determining whether the department's classification of the Da Nang Harbor as an inland, excuse me, not as an inland waterway, but as an offshore waterway is reasonable and entitled to substantial deference. And the Secretary would certainly urge that it is.
Right, but that wasn't my question. My question was, why didn't the board address that as recently raised in the record regarding the deck log and the Quaviet River?
Your Honor, my apologies. I cannot speak to why the board did not address it. However, the deck log certainly indicates that they were off of the mouth. There's no...
What does that mean to you, off of the mouth?
It certainly does not...
Does that mean it's close proximity, or, I mean, it's kind of open to some interpretation, don't you think?
Sure, Your Honor. However, the standard that VA has espoused in its training letter is that the deck log must indicate entrance or anchorage, and being off of or near to the mouth of a river, just as the Federal Circuit noted in Haas, the standard being near to shore is essentially unmanageably vague, and it would not appear to have been.
The training letter says when deck logs refer to entering or anchoring in the mouth, is it possible to be off the mouth as you're entering the river?
Perhaps.
I'm just asking a question. I don't have the answer.
Of course, Your Honor. My apologies. That is certainly a possibility. However, it is not it's not relevant to the question that is before this court today, and that question is regarding the Da Nang Harbor.
Right. Perhaps if that question had been answered by the board, we wouldn't be here today. Right?
Well, Your Honor, it is difficult for me to
I suggest strongly that had the board answered that question, we wouldn't be here today. let me ask you this then. Given everything that we have discussed regarding the Nang Harbor, if you had to list indicia of inland versus deep blue water, what list would the Secretary offer that would help make our job easier?
Your Honor,
if
I'm not certain.
If I could amplify that just so we can also when you answer this question. For example, Quinyon Bay has been found to be not in the inland waters, correct? I'm sorry, in the inland waters.
Correct, Your Honor.
And Da Nang has been determined not.
Correct.
Okay, so where is the document that shows that? While you're answering Judge Davis's question.
Well, Your Honor, the...
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment to my question.
Your Honors, the classification of the Da Nang Harbor as an open deep water port offshore, not inland, is in VA's manual, training letter, and bulletin.
Now, doesn't that say such as or something like that? And
the... Correct, Your Honor. It is a guidance document that the Secretary has provided to his adjudicators, noting that an open deep water harbor,
it's not provided
such
by
as...
it's not provided by the Secretary. It's provided by the Director of Compensation and Pension, correct?
Correct, Your Honor, under the authority of the Secretary, okay. Yes. As guidance documents indicating that these open deep water harbors using, and such as explicitly excluding Da Nang, Cameron, and Vung Tau. Now, with regard to the Queenan Bay, the Secretary, as espoused in his training letter and other bulletins, he has acknowledged that some ships nevertheless conducted these inland waterway operations. So it is within the authority of the Secretary to make these essentially case-by-case determinations, evaluating the deck logs of that specific ship, as well as other evidence supporting whether or not that ship conducted these operations that may qualify them for the presumption of herbicide exposure. However, Your Honor, on this list of ships, the USS Work is not one of them.
Okay, so I'm waiting for the list. If I hear you correctly, Counsel, we should accept the Secretary's classification that a certain bay is inland or a certain bay is not, based on what exactly?
Your Honor, it is based upon the substantial deference that should be given to the Secretary's interpretation of his own reasonable regulation. And therefore, the Secretary's interpretation is controlling unless that interpretation is plainly erroneous or inconsistent with the regulation. And certainly here, Your Honor, the Secretary's interpretation is reasonable, it is rational, and it is consistent with both the language of the regulation as well as the Secretary's other interpretations of his regulation to clearly distinguish between veterans who served on land or inland and veterans who served exclusively offshore.
So if I look at the training manual, the explanation for Da Nang Harbor being classified as not inland is that it's easy to enter due to being open to the sea.
Correct, Your Honor. The Secretary has viewed these open deep water ports as extensions of the South China Sea or irregularities along the coastline, not akin to the rivers or estuaries and deltas that are within the landmass of Vietnam, and most importantly, where the spraying of herbicides is well documented.
What if they sprayed Agent Orange over Da Nang Harbor? By accident?
Well, Your Honor, there is certainly
no
indication here. The Secretary would certainly reevaluate his classification if there is evidence of that. However, there is certainly no evidence of that significant exposure possibility. This was investigated by the Secretary and confirmed by the Institute of Medicine, and so therefore, Your Honor, the presumption of herbicide exposure does not apply. However, that does not cut off the rights of appellant. He can certainly and is certainly entitled to establish direct actual exposure as his alternate route to service connection. If there are no further questions, Your Honors, the Secretary respectfully requests that this Court affirm the Board's November 6, 2013 decision because VA's interpretation of its own regulation is rational, consistent with the regulation, and entitled to substantial deference. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, I would like to respond to your earlier inquiry about the language used in Louisiana. And it, at page, starting at page 11 of that decision through 18, they specifically use the term inland water.
Right.
And on that same note, the Secretary repeats over and over that Louisiana is not controlling or doesn't have any influence in this case because it involves the Submerged Land Act. That's true, but that's not the point for which it is cited. It's the law that the Supreme Court applied in that case. The law crosses, is universal, and it
Let me ask you this, okay, with regard to that. You don't believe that one agency could define a particular term one way and another agency defining that term the other way?
I believe that they could, Your Honor, and then it would be up to the courts to review that at some point, I suppose.
It would, in the Supreme Court case, really wouldn't make a difference, would it? Because it was under the Submerged Lands Act, that's the way they interpreted it. But let's say the VA says, okay, for our regulation, we believe, we are going to consider the definition of a bay to be X, as opposed to what the Supreme Court said in Louisiana, relying on UN Convention on Land Rules.
Yes, Your Honor, but that begs the question, what is that alternative authority?
Okay.
And there is a, and I would like to point out that the distinction that you raised about whether the veteran stepped foot on land or not, the Secretary concedes it would not make a difference in this case. And that completely illustrates why the Haas case is different from this case, because Mr. Gray contends that he didn't step off the ship, but he was in an inland waterway. And if it's determined to be an inland waterway, he wins. And I would like to get to a few of the other photographs of the harbors just to show that there is an inconsistency in the VA's determination of what constitutes inland waterways and what does not. And I think the Vung Tau Bay versus the Gan Rai Bay distinction is illustrative of this point. The VA concedes that Gan Rai Bay, which is at the mouth of the Mekong River, is an inland waterway, but that Vung Tau Bay, which is right next to it, is not. And again, the question is raised, what's the distinction? Let's see.
Better picture.
Where did it go? There you go. Again, Gan Rai Bay, inland water, Vung Tau Bay is not, according to the Secretary's training letters. And if I could go back to Da Nang, in effect, if you look at the, did I pass it?
It's the very first one.
There we go. In effect, I would argue that Da Nang Harbor is the mouth of those two rivers, and that anchoring inside the harbor is anchoring at the mouth of these inland waterways. So Judge Davis talked about indicia of inland as opposed to offshore. I think that's further indicia of Da Nang Harbor being an inland waterway.
So your argument, as opposed to the Secretary's, is based, so I think are we in agreement, first of all, that the central issue, really the only issue that we have to decide, is what is or what is not an inland waterway, or we have to send it back for the board to tell us how they, how secretary decides it.
Well, that would be up to the court, obviously, but I would say that they had their opportunity. They relied on the, I believe it's the board decision at 17, in the record at 17. They explicitly relied on the VA's policies that have been espoused and decided that it was not an inland waterway.
I understand. I'm just saying what the parties want us to decide.
We want the court to decide that Da Nang Harbor is part of the inland waterways of Vietnam.
And as the Secretary said, that would mean Mr. Bray's automatically entitled to decide.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And is that, are there ancillary things that you believe the court has the ability to decide?
That would be the, that's the nub of the case, and that's the relief that Mr. Gray wants, and he would win his case if that was the court's ruling.
Norman, what did you get in the presentation? Please feel free to tell us whatever you want.
I think I covered all of my rebuttal points. If there's no further questions. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
The case is submitted. We'll now bring counsel.
All rise.